Good morning, everybody watching online today. It's so good to have you with us. It is a honor and a pleasure to have you with us, joining us every week. So welcome to church. I know that we have so many folks that are still taking care of their themselves at home and are still not venturing out, and we totally get it. We totally understand it. And so if you could just tune in, share the broadcast, let us know you're there, give a shout out to everybody. And if you guys in the back there could turn the lights on this corner section over here, so it doesn't look like the spirit of darkness is hovering in the... Praise the Lord. Well, I walked out today and I thought we had guests with us today, but no, we just got some family members. The long lost family have come back home to visit. So it's good to have Mike and Janet Stone Rock with us today. Man alive. I wasn't expecting to walk out and see them. And so, wow, it's a blessing. And then Mikey and Melissa are with us today. And it's like, yeah, you know, we have a lot of folks that are riding out COVID-19 still. And so the Lord just, you know, we've been saying we'd love to see some of y'all back here. Evidently, that word's getting out to the far reaches. And people are deciding to come see us. No, we're so glad to have long-lost family members back. Grace is back with us, my goodness. And we haven't, you know, and Grace actually had COVID. She actually fought it, and I'm sure you wanted everybody to know. She's clean and clear now, so, you know, it's good to start seeing some of you folks come back. I know that it really is, this is unprecedented times. Just such a weird year so far, and so I'm so glad to see some of you making it back in here. So praise the Lord. Well, we started last week a little series. We've been talking about love for about 10 weeks. We talked about it, you know, pretty raw, about showing love, and I wrapped up that series and I was ready to move on to something else, and the Lord said no, hold on, you need to talk about receiving it. It's one thing that people need to go out and show it, and that's true, and that's important as Christians and as witnesses. That is important for us. But we also need to learn to receive it. Because if you don't receive it, you're actually not receiving the number one need that you have in your life. John chapter 3, verse number 16 was our verse, and that's, you know, probably could just let everybody quote that, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who would ever believe in him would have everlasting life." And that's important, that, you know, love has to be something that is received by faith first. That's what we kind of talked about last week. But if you're not receiving love, you're in a very unhealthy place. Now, I want to make it clear, I'm not saying that if you're in a place where love isn't being shown to you. I'm saying if you're in a place where you're not receiving love that is shown to you, you're in a place that's very unhealthy. If you can't receive love, you actually are having a problem receiving God. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 8 says this, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So if somebody wants to love you, and I'm not, again, we're not talking just romantically, you know, or brotherly. We're actually talking about true, honest to God love. If somebody's trying to do some of that to you, for you, and you can't receive it, that's a very unhealthy place to be, because you're actually not receiving the Lord. Last week we talked about love taking trust, and trust only can come when the truth is communicated. I can't trust you until you communicate to me what I should be trusting you for. So I can't just assume that you love me if you don't ever communicate that to me. If you don't ever say it or do anything, or some kind of communication to me, there's no way that I can trust that you love me. But the thing about it is love has to be something that comes through trust. And so you need to have love communicated to you so that your trust can be built. Let it be communicated to you and communicated to you and communicated to you and over again. You need to hear it so that your trust can be built up and you can receive more love. Now, I did say you don't need to let everybody communicate it to you. Listen, you're not going to receive love from everybody because some people just aren't going to give it out. And the thing is I am not opening my heart to everybody, but I am constantly looking for somebody to open up to. Now, that doesn't mean I'm walking around needy. Am I supposed to open my heart to you? Am I supposed to open my heart to you? Am I supposed to open my heart to you? And I'm just walking around like a mess. Come on. We all know people like that, right? They just kind of go from person to person looking for acceptance and, you know, and they just open their heart to everybody and they just keep getting hurt. Listen to me. There are some people that are going to be closer to my to really getting into my heart, and other people that are going to just be on the outskirts of my heart. And then there are going to be some people that never really get to my heart as far as me receiving love from them. There's one person on the earth who is actually all the way in the middle, and I took a vow before God to let that happen. Come on, somebody. So I don't need to be walking around just opening my heart to everybody and everything, but those that I am always looking to open my heart to, I need to understand that they're not going to love me just because I want them to. They need to be communicating that to me before I can receive love from them. So we're not walking around desperate. We're not walking around like, please love me. We're walking around looking to see if this is one of the people that are supposed to happen to. Now, I want to say this, and I'm not going to preach a whole series on this, although we could. But Gary Chapman wrote a great book about communicating love. It's called The Five Love Languages. I'm sure most people have heard of it. And the thing is when love is communicated, some people communicate in a way that resonates with you. Other times they don't, but that doesn't mean they're not communicating love to you. Now, in his book, I'm just going to breeze over this really, really quickly. There are five ways people show and receive love. There's one called acts of service, where you show somebody you love them by what you do for them. There is quality time, where somebody tells you they love you or you can receive it is by how much time they want to spend with you. Then there is gifts. Some people never say anything. They just buy you a little trinket and a gift. Well, if you're not a gift person, you may look at that and go, what are you trying to get from me? You know what I mean? But that's their way of telling you. I don't know why, but I wrote down acts of service twice. I guess I didn't realize what it... but anyway, then the other one is touch. Physical touch. Where you have to be sitting there and you know, you want to hold hands or you know, put your arm around them or, you know, put your hand on their leg or whatever. Any kind of physical touch. And the last one is words of affirmation, where they just tell you all the time how wonderful you are. Now listen, if your love language isn't one of these, you know, it is one of these five, but if your love language isn't the same as your partner's or the person that you're trying to receive love from, you may not understand that they're communicating it to you. If I'm going to receive love from somebody and my love language is acts of service, okay, and when I say that, now the way I give love may not be acts of service. Maybe the way I give love is gifts. But what speaks to me is acts of service, and I have people around me just buying me a bunch of gifts, I may look at those gifts and go, what's wrong with you people? Are you trying to get something from me? You know what I'm saying? Or they could tell me they love me all they want to, but until they actually, you know, get up and do something for me, their words are empty. Until I understand that. And so I would encourage you, if you have problems with receiving love, you need to go and do some studying on this to understand what the five love languages are. And you need to understand that some people are communicating to you in ways you may not be even comprehending. Sometimes it's tone. Sometimes our tones don't match. Yeah, I remember being a little kid and the ice cream truck would come into the neighborhood. Anybody else have these experiences? You know, my kids, even now to this day, when it doesn't come around very often, but when he does come around, I mean, Peyton can be sitting in his room on the Xbox or PlayStation or Nintendo or whatever and zoned out, could never be completely deaf to me and Jody. But here, ding, 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 and it's this, you know, whatever theme song coming down on the little, you know, crappy loudspeaker. And he'll come in and say, hey, there's an ice cream truck coming down the street. Now, I remember being that as a little kid and, you know, hearing them come through the neighborhood. And let's see if anybody else remembers this. You go running inside and your mom would be on the phone. And you say the ice cream truck's coming, and she didn't hear anything you just said because she's talking to whoever. And then you ratchet it up a little bit. Mom, the ice cream truck is coming. And she's still giving you one of these. She knows you're there now, but okay, I'm on the phone. I do this to my kids. I'll look at them and be like, I'm on the phone. And then you ratchet it up a little further. And finally, you get it ratcheted up enough to where your tone matches where she's at. And usually it was throwing a fit, falling on the ground, screaming, crying. My God, don't you love me? You hate me? You don't want me to have ice cream? Whatever. Finally, the tone resonated. And she looks at you and she's like, I'll call you right back. Click. And the tones matching doesn't necessarily get us what we want. Because usually after that, you got a beating for acting like an idiot. Come on, somebody. I fell on the floor and wallowed all over the place and screamed and cried. My mom hung up the phone and I was like, oh, good, now we can talk about the ice cream shop. Get in your room. And so that's the thing. We are looking for somebody to hear our tone, but listen, matching tones aren't necessarily going to give us the love that we're looking for. It may already be being offered, and it may be being communicated to you. All right? So, some people communicate love one way, receive it another way, and you have to understand that. But once you figure it out, then that you have to make this decision of what's being communicated to you is something whether you're ready to receive or not. This is what Sarah did. Now, I'm still reviewing from last week. Sarah judged God. The Bible says that she judged God faithful who had promised. What is that? She listened to what was said, you're going to have a baby at 87. And then she judged whether or not that was trustworthy. When you receive love communicated to you, you need to make a decision and judge whether or not that's something you believe or not. Now, usually one of two things happens. Yes, you know, you either receive it or reject it. Or sometimes there are things there that cause us to not receive it, and we don't know why. Sometimes our heart is hardened in an area, and that hardness will actually lock you in place from receiving love in that area. You won't want anybody to touch you there in that spot in your heart ever again. And the sad part about it is there are plenty of people in this world who still love that way, but because your heart is hardened in a protective manner, I've hardened my heart there, I don't want anybody to touch that ever again. And so we walk through life with missing pieces of love in our life that we actually need to balance us out. Come on now. We need all five of them actually operating in our life, all five of the love languages operating in our lives, because it brings balance. God's more than just what you think he is. That means love is more than what you think it is. All right, so I know that we do this because we don't want to get hurt again. Anybody ever had a wound or an injury? Physically, let's just take it obvious. I remember one time, it was one of the times we went to one of my father-in-law's increase events down in Naples, and some people from the church went. And at that point in time, Chris and Suli were still going here, and Suli is a massage therapist. And if you don't know who that is, Chris was our youth pastor for a while. They're moving, I don't know if anybody else knows this, they're moving to Arkansas to pastor a church, which is just awesome. And so, but Suli is a massage therapist. And while we were there at the event, now, if you've ever come to one of these events, Jody and I are like nonstop in fifth gear continually. We don't stop. We're working. And so I had a new pair of shoes at the event, and for some reason, my calf, I just sore. Felt like I pulled something, but couldn't really put my finger on it. And so I remember we were all up in the room, and we had joining rooms with one of the family. I don't remember who it was. And so we were kind of, you know, it was like a big spread open there, and we were all kind of hanging out, and Chris and Suli were up in there. And I was like, hey, my calf really hurts. You think you can help me? She goes, lay down. So she, you know, I can go flop down on the bed there, and she gets around there behind there, and she grabbed a hold of my calf, and I about came off there like Bruce Lee. I mean, I was like swinging around like, what are you doing? There was no thought to that. I didn't have to muster that up. There was no, I think I'm going to plant on this foot, swing with that foot, breathe in through the nose, out through the mouth, Mr. Miyagi, and I'm going to do all that. I didn't have to think about any of it. It was a natural swing motion, and I was up and saying, what are you doing? And that's kind of what a hard heart does. When it's been hurt, anytime somebody just barely starts to, even if it's help, it is a natural, hi-ya! Get away. And scream. And cry. And the pain comes back. It's not a mustered up thing. It's something that happens. This is what happens when our heart is hardened. Now there is something to hard-heartedness. It is a very real thing. In Ephesians, and the Bible speaks of it quite a bit. Let's look at a few examples of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, comma, due to their hardness of heart. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Another translation of that where it speaks of heartless is hard-hearted. Mark chapter 6, verse 48. Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Now, I love this story because that would just be awesome to see, wouldn't it? A man out there walking on the water. He intended to go past them, but when they saw him, now that's another whole thing right there. Those words right there. He intended to go past them, which means when he started walking on the water, he really wasn't coming out there for their benefit. He was walking on the water to get to the other side. Yeah. You guys having a good time over there? I'll see you over here in a minute. Okay. But then the Bible says that he saw them and saw that they were having a difficult time. When they saw him walk on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking that he was a ghost. They were all terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke to them at once, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped, and they were totally amazed. Now, that we can stop right there. I'm going to read 52 in just a second, but I want you to catch this. What just happened here? These guys just came off of feeding a multitude of people. Jesus performed a miracle with the loaves and the fishes. And he sends them to the other side, and they're struggling to get there. And when they see him walking on the water, and they scream and freak out, I want you to catch this. They had just watched a miracle. And now they're out there struggling in their own life. And they don't even have enough sense to know that that's Jesus. They think it's like a demon or something that's come to make their life worse. So Jesus, being Jesus, comes and changes his intention and walks over to the boat and gets in the boat with them. Now watch this. Verse 51, go back. We'll take it from here. Then he climbed into the boat, and the wind stopped. They were totally amazed. But watch this now. What were they amazed with? Not that he was out walking on the water, comma, 52, for they still didn't understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. Now look at these next words. Their hearts were too hard to take it in. They're out there struggling, listen to me now, in their own life because they weren't able to receive the love God just poured out on that crowd. Y'all know they were blessed by it too. They ate, and their hearts were still too hard to receive it. And when it's too hard, listen to me, when your heart is hardened from whatever reason, could be past hurts, could be confusion, could be the fact, listen to me, all of those guys grew up little Jewish boys who wanted to be a priest when they grew up. They're rejected. These are the rejects. These are the people that the highbrows in society say are no good. You can't be a priest. You're not good enough. You're going to have to go do something else. So whatever it is, their heart is hardened. And Jesus performs a miracle, and they cannot comprehend it. Now, this is not just a kind gesture from a friend of yours. This is the Lord that we're talking about. The Lord performed a miracle, and they couldn't receive what happened. Why? Because their hearts were hardened. It's a very real thing. Okay? It is a real thing for people. Let me give you five characteristics, and if you're taking notes, I wish I would have done note pages for you today, but if you're taking notes, you should write these down. Here are five characteristics that you're starting to become hard-hearted, or maybe you already are. Number one, and these are not said with any kind of judgment at all. I have to look at myself in these as well sometimes. Number one, you don't really celebrate, and you don't really cry. Guilty. You might be good at showing it on the outside, but you don't really feel it for somebody else. When they do something awesome, when they have a breakthrough, when they have something that we say, and I'm just going to be honest with you, the world is full of these kind of people. When you walk around and something happens for somebody else, and you see them go, oh, well, good for them. And then on the inside, now how do I know this? Because I've done this. On the inside, they go, you know, on the outside, we go, great! And on the inside, they go, why didn't that happen for me? Or, wait till you see when it's my turn. I'm going to blow you away. It's going to be so much better. That's hardness of heart. Number two, you stop genuinely caring. I just don't care anymore. I just your heart's getting hard. Number three, so much of what's supposed to be meaningful feels mechanical. From your personal friendships to your family to work, there's no feeling in what you're doing. I was having a conversation last night. We did a memorial service for, some of you know Sandra. She comes, she sits back there, Sandra Napal, Dr. Napal. And her mom passed away, 90 years old. And so Jody and I did a memorial service for her last night. And I was speaking to one of her family members, and we were talking about this kind of thing, that you can get into a rut in your life. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you might even have a routine before you go to work, and then you get home from work, and you do your routine after work, and you sit down, and you have a dinner, and you take a break, and you go to bed, and you just do it all the next day. And it becomes monotonous. And it's one thing to do that with your job, but it can get that way in our relationships. I remember when I was a kid, we used to, younger, I should say, I wasn't really a kid, and we would meet my grandmother and her twin sister and her husband, and sometimes their older sister and my mom and dad, and we would go to the mall and just sit in the food court and watch people every Thursday night. It was just so routine. And it was great at first because we'd sit, it was great to see everyone. It was kind of our time to get... But it became a routine where that's all we did. And the thing is we can reach this point in relationships and receiving love from people where, I'm just here. And the mistake that we make is that we think that they're supposed to be the only one who does, if they don't ever make it better, then it's not going to be better. Instead of looking at it as an opportunity that we can improve it. Our heart is getting hardened because it's just mechanical. Number four, passion is hard to come by for anything. When you get to the point where you can't get excited about anything, your heart is getting hardened. And it doesn't matter what it is. Number five, you no longer believe the best about people. Even when you meet someone, you immediately go to thinking, this is going to go wrong this way. This is going to happen to me here. These people are going to let me down. These people are going to break my heart. These people are going to abandon me. Instead of looking at it as the possibility of what can happen, we start immediately sizing up what's going to happen badly. These are all symptoms of a hard heart. Now, I say this to make you understand, I'm not saying this from a point of judgmental criticism or anything like that. I'm not saying this from a place of, beating you down, this is bad. I know this is real. I know this is so real. And the problem that I believe... myself, this is talking to Brent right now, that we as Christians have had is that we deal with hard-heartedness. Now watch this, with hard-heartedness. We size up people, go, well, they just can't be loved. They just can't be helped. And if that's just the way it is, well, you know what? I just don't need that drama in my life. And we just throw them right out, the baby out with the bathwater. If they're not going to receive what I believe, and they're not going to receive the word of the Lord that I have for them, and we treat hard-heartedness with our hard-heartedness because we're afraid to be rejected ourselves. I understand that there is a sore spot in your heart. And the reason that many have trouble receiving love is because we're using the hard-heartedness to protect our heart. But actually, love and healing comes from allowing our trust to grow and allow God to heal us. I can't allow a human to heal me. You know why? They don't have the ability to do that. Humans cannot heal me. Any relationship that I have, listen to me, is not something that heals me. It is at best something that furthers me. But healing comes from the Lord. Now, there are some steps I should be taking in order to have that healing operating in my life, and that's kind of what this series is about. But I have to allow God to heal me. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 13, talking about hard-heartedness still. He said, "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive, for this people's heart has grown dull. And with their eyes they can barely hear. Excuse me, with their ears they can barely hear. And with their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn.'" Now look at this. "And I would heal them." What does that mean? You're going to have to receive the communication of love to you and trust in it and allow God to heal the wound that is there. The wound has to be healed first. Even if it feels like, listen to this, even if it feels like what is being done is actually making it worse, real love actually causes the wound to get better. The first step you have to understand is God wants to heal your heart, which means if he heals you, listen to me, this is going to be hard for some of you. If God heals your heart, that means he wants to protect it from being hurt again. Which means this, you have to trust God with the fresh healing that he just did. I remember when Sully was working on my calf and I came up off that bed fast as lightning and it hurt so bad. But the thing about it is if I didn't let her go back to work on that, it would have never gotten better in the quick amount of time that it did. It would have taken a long time to heal. I remember I've gone to the doctor before. You know, my shoulder's kind of hurting. What's the first thing they do? Oh, right there? Does that hurt? Can I punch you? I had this, I don't know if it was a cyst or what, on my shoulder. One year, Jody had already left to go to Hawaii for the event. Now, this is when we were living in Oklahoma. And this thing, it would give me a fever. It was infected. And I remember going to the doctor because I had to get it taken care of before I went to Hawaii. So I went to the doctor and I took my shirt off and he walked around behind there and he looked and instead, you know, and it was gross. I don't want to get into it, but it was gross. And instead of just going, "Oh, okay, let's see if we can numb that up a little bit," he literally put both hands on it and just started wrenching on it and squeezing and doing all the gross things. If you ever watch Dr. Pimple Popper, you know what I'm talking about. I screamed and yelled and the thing is he said, "I can give you a shot that's going to numb this, but it'll take longer for me to do that than to just get it out right now. We're almost done." Okay. Now that's the way it is with our heart. When God starts to touch it and heal it, immediately we get nervous and it actually does hurt. And believe me, I know. I get it. But the thing about it is if God's going to do a work in there, then that means we have to let go of what is causing the hurt. And it doesn't feel good to do that, because that's kind of dictated who we are for the last X amount of years. And a lot of times we're scared to have to learn to be somebody else. But here's what you are. You're a new creature in Christ. Amen. That's what you are. And when he heals you, he's not taking away who you are. He's taking away what's caused you so much pain and so much agony and so much hurt and so much depression and so much misery. And he's not trying to lessen you. He's actually trying to make you what he created you to be, which is a new person in Christ. Those old things are dead. They're passed away. So you have to begin to trust God that he's going to heal you from your past hurt that's blocking you from receiving new love. And I'm going to close with this. If you believe that you're the only person who can protect you, then why does God use such terms in his word, saying things like, I'll cover them with my wings, and I'll give my angels charge over you to protect you lest you dash your foot against the stone. He uses words like, I will protect you from the evil one. Now, a lot of times we lump this up with physical protection. I know every time we had a tornado in Oklahoma, everybody was quoting these verses. Come on, y'all do the same thing here when we get a hurricane, right? We do those, we start talking about those. Anytime there's anything dangerous going on, come on, every trip you take in your car, that's the thing. Lord, I thank you for a safe trip. Come on, getting on that airplane, tell the truth. How many of you kind of lay your hand on the door when you get on the airplane? Thank you that everything works good in here. I'm protected. This is a safe flight, in Jesus' name. Come on, we all do it. How many of us are speaking this over our emotional life, though? How many of us are speaking this over my heart? Lord, I thank you that my heart is protected, that you give your angels charge over me to protect me. And if I'm going to be healed, that means that I have to trust him to protect my heart. That doesn't mean I'm ignorant and walk around just be a doormat for somebody. But at the same time, he'll tell me when I need to be careful. God wants to heal your heart from hardness. And then he wants to protect you from future hurt by leading you through your life. So I'm going to say this. Yes, you can become that proficient in being led by your spirit that God will instruct you when to stop with people, to change with people, to proceed further with people, to do more with somebody else. Come on, so that your love from other the love need that you have from other people, come on, can be met. God will protect you emotionally as well as physically, and he will tell you how much of your heart to expose to certain people. But you have to trust him with that part that's been broken and allow him to heal that part so that it won't cause that knee-jerk reaction anymore. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Where are you protecting yourself? Not telling you not to be cautious, not telling you not to use wisdom, but I am saying let God touch that heart so that instead of drawing these large generalities, God can pinpoint to you exactly what you should be doing. But if that part is still broken, then we need to get that part healed. So I'm going to pray for you today, and I'm going to release the healing power of God into your emotional being. And I'm not going to stand up here and give you some televangelist promise, you know, hey, this is what's going to happen. I do know that when I pray, the Bible says tremendous power is made available through the prayers of a righteous man. So I am going to pray, and I am going to release the power of God into your life. But I am going to challenge you to use your faith to grab a hold of it so that you can begin to expect that process to begin today. The healing process to begin today. For some of you, it will be instant. You'll be able to tell an immediate change. For some of you, you'll be like the leper that was healed as they went. And for some of you, you won't notice it till the next time something comes up in that area. And it won't bother you like it did. So that power is going to go to work in your life right now, healing your emotional well-being. The scars, the hurt, the brokenness that's kept you from receiving love. You've sabotaged relationships because you were afraid. You've stopped relationships from forming. And you really couldn't even put your finger on why. It just appeared like something else. Or it maybe could have been something else. And that hard-heartedness protected it from being anything else. The sad part is that was God trying to get that part of your heart healed. That was God trying to reach in and open you back up to receive more of who He is. If that's you today, whether you're in your seat or you're watching online, head bowed, eyes closed, just lift your hand and receive the healing right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You that Your word's so true. Your word is so true that, Lord, You don't just desire for us to be healed just in speaking. Lord, You really want us to be healed and whole in everything. And so, Lord, these past hurts that have caused tremendous pain in people's lives, rejection, betrayal, Father God, just mistrust. Lord, I pray for every one of them right now in Jesus' name. Those that are watching online, I pray for them right now. And I say, Lord God, Lord, pour the balm of Gilead in there right now in Jesus' name. Lord, just pour the oil and the wine into those wounds. And Father, even though it hurts because we're thinking about it, and even though it hurts because we're facing it, Lord God, You're beginning to mend it from the inside out right now in Jesus' name. I thank You for Your healing power in the broken hearts, emotional wounds, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank You that You're turning these hearts that are hardened into hearts of flesh right now. The stone is being chipped away. And Lord God, now their heart is being exposed right now. Touch them with Your love, Your compassion, and Your healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. 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 Come on, just receive right now. Just tell Him thank You. Receive right now in Jesus' name. He's healing your heart, your emotions. Forgiveness is flowing into your heart right now. And the change is beginning. Hallelujah. I want to share this and then we'll wrap it up. I have been right there. I remember one time Jody and I had only been married about 3 months. And I was youth pastoring back in Kentucky, and I won't get into the whole story, but there was basically some allegations leveled at me by somebody who was really close to me about money. And I had all the paperwork and all of the receipts and everything to prove my innocence. And we tried to show it to them, and they didn't want to have anything to do with it. And they went and talked to my pastor and told him, you know, you need to set him down. He's, you know, nothing but trouble. And, you know, he did this to us and that to us. And I stood up and I took my pastor all the receipts and all the papers and laid it down in front of him. And I said, I haven't done anything that I've been accused of doing. And this is somebody that's close to me. My pastor was somebody very close to me. And they believe the other person, even with paperwork. And Jody can tell you, because she even said that wasn't fair. We were just getting started in our marriage. 3 months. And it was, I'll just tell you, it was family members. And it was such a crushing, disappointing, hurtful, potentially career-ending event. And I was so bewildered by the people that were doing it. I just couldn't understand why would that even come up, and why would that go there, and why aren't you standing up for me? And I had a moment in myself where I don't need you. I cut them off, quit talking to them, quit talking, you know, just completely separated myself, because I figured that was the best thing for me to protect myself. And I remember sitting out in the hot tub at my parents' house one night by myself. I was just out there by myself. And the Lord started dealing with me about sowing some seed into one of their kids. I said, I'm not doing that. After they did that to me. And the Lord said, I want you to do X, Y, Z. He gave me some specific instructions to do. I need you to do this. And I argued with God in that hot tub for a good hour. I was real pruney by the time it was over with. And I argued with God. And God said these words to me. He said, I want you to do this and trust me, because what I'm going to do, you're going to love. And I was like, okay, I'm getting chills thinking about it. And I did it. Jody and I sent seed to one of their kids. It was a pretty big financial seed for us at the time. I mean, you know, it wasn't a lot. In some people's eyes, it was $100. I mean, but for us at that time, might as well have been $10,000. We didn't have anything. We're just getting started. I think I was making $150 a week being a youth pastor. It wasn't very much. And so I sent $100 to them. And I remember them emailing back saying how shocked they were to receive just, and that they needed it. And anytime I would think about that situation and those folks, I would get mad and shun. And not, if I knew they were going to be somewhere, I wouldn't even go. To this day, you know, 20 to 30 years, I don't even remember what year it was. You? 2000 maybe, so 20 years ago. 1999, something like that. It was 99 because we just got married. So 21 years ago. To this day, when somebody brings up the instigator, I have to stop and go, and just kind of smirk for a second and put my flesh under. Because what God did through that is when I got the call to go to work at Rhema. Okay? And my life, you talk about completely changing. Our life changed. I mean, we didn't have kids when we went. We got kids while we were at Rhema. I mean, we had a whole turnaround in our life. And now when I see them now, it takes me a second to, just in my mind, I have to just make that little adjustment. But I've been exposed to other folks just like them that don't bother me at all. I know what this feels like. I've walked where you're walking, and it is not easy, and but man, it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So with that being said, let's wrap up the service. Thanks for coming to church today.